Hey folks, this is Tom Castles, former host of Databook. I just wanted to drop in for a second to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by InterSystems, the engine behind the world's most important healthcare applications. So here's the deal. InterSystems is all about helping you overcome the challenges of modern healthcare. Their advanced software solutions can help your health system transform care processes for moving to value-based care, managing population health, engaging patients, and so much more. It's all driven by a simple mission: to empower care providers and connect care communities around clearly presented, easy-to-use, and comprehensive health information. I think we can all agree that our industry needs innovation. So that's why I encourage you to take the next step today. Reach out to InterSystems on Twitter or LinkedIn, or visit them online at intersystems.com.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Databook. My name is Samara Rosenfeld, and today I will be speaking with Tracy Warren, Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of Astarte Medical, a precision medicine company focused on using software and predictive analytics to improve outcomes during the first 1,000 days of life, specifically on preterm infants. Today, we will be discussing the company's platform, NICUtrition, how the company is leveraging predictive analytics, how its funding round helped accelerate its platform, and much, much more.
Hey, thank you for having me. So I'm Tracy Warren. I'm co-founder and CEO of Astarte Medical, a Yardley-based precision nutrition company focused on the first 1,000 days.
So can you tell me a little bit more about Astarte Medical?
Absolutely. So we're a data and analytics company focused on improving health outcomes for children in the first 1,000 days of life. So that's from conception through age 2. And our first product platform, which is called NICUtrition, is focused on preterm infants born in the neonatal intensive care unit of hospitals, with an idea of improving feeding, nutrition, and optimizing gut health.
Now, what is the importance of, you know, optimizing gut health in preterm infants?
Well, absolutely. An area we need to focus on, I believe, is around that early development of both your physical growth and your brain development. And all of that is fueled by your gut or your intestinal microbiome. And so by focusing on the organ, the gut, and bringing better discipline and information to clinicians for these preterm infants, we can help improve their growth rates, improve their cognitive outcomes, and help them enjoy longer, healthier lives.
And you're doing all of this by leveraging analytics, machine learning?
Absolutely. So we have a series of software platforms, diagnostic tools, and that really use machine learning and a very large, we actually have the world's largest data set as it relates to preterm infant gut health. We've done that leveraging shotgun metagenomic sequencing, and we use machine learning to then find patterns and ways to help clinicians better risk stratify babies. And that risk is risk of, say, gut inflammation or dysbiosis. So that's how we use machine learning in our platform.
Mm-hmm. And the platform, is it integrated through health systems' electronic health record?
It is. We're actually part of the Epic App Orchard. And so we do 70% of our customers, which are level 3 and 4 NICUs, are on an Epic platform. And so we're part of their App Orchard and bi-directionally integrate with Epic. And then we also can work through our integration partners into other electronic medical record platforms.
So if a nurse or a doctor is in the NICU and they're using their EHR, can you kind of take through what exactly they're seeing with your NICUtrition guidelines?
Absolutely. So our first platform, which is commercialized today, is around feeding protocols. So these are clinical practice guidelines that the hospitals directed their teams to use. And so if you're looking at a patient screen and you're at the bedside, say a nurse about to do a feeding for our babies, we are a tab within that dashboard, and we help to standardize those feedings according to those clinical practice guidelines. So we drive better adherence to those practice guidelines, and that then helps to improve outcomes and reduce length of stay. So it's very seamless from a workflow perspective, and it's really meant to capture a lot of the data around observations relating to the babies and to better help systems adhere to these practice guidelines, which have been shown to, as I said, improve outcomes.
And you mentioned better adherence and maybe reduced hospital stays. Have you done any studies or trials to kind of back that up?
We've signed our first contract and plan to go live in early 2020 with our first health system. There is, however, several published studies that were really paper-based that show that by standardizing against a protocol, regardless of what the protocol is, that hospitals have been able to reduce length of stay up to 14 days, which is pretty compelling when you understand that a day in the NICU for these babies is about $3,000 a day. So we know that we can at least match that, but we have yet to demonstrate in a clinical setting. We hope to do that first part of next year.
So on average, how long are these babies typically staying in the hospital?
Yeah, so for babies under 32 weeks gestational age, so 8 weeks early, if you will, or more, these babies are staying 77 days on average. So from a healthcare cost perspective, these babies are usually somewhere around $280,000 just on their inpatient stay alone.
Wow. So you're able to cut off, 2 weeks of that time, and it can save a pretty penny for these families.
And better yet, gets these babies home, right, with their families, with their siblings, and really improve that that early attachment and connection experience.
What made you want to focus on this area of neonatal care?
Yeah, so my co-founder Tammy Jansen and I had been working as investors in the women and infant health space. So we come from the venture capital side. And along our journey of looking at needs, clinical needs for technology, we met Kate Gregory, who's our third co-founder. Kate is a newborn ICU nurse by background, but is also a prominent researcher at Harvard in preterm infant microbiome and nutrition studies. And it was really her observation that she's collecting all this data as part of her clinical workflow, and she's aware of all this great science and conducting all this great science in her lab, but ne'er the two shall meet. And so that really caused us to think about these challenges that these families and these children are going through, and how data and, with the advent of machine learning and AI, we could really provide some very powerful tools at a point in time when it can really change the trajectory of health for these babies. So it was meeting Kate, and it was just sort of alignment with some of the great technologies that are out there and some of the interoperability that's happening with medical records as well.
Right. You might not necessarily have been able to do something like this, looking back years ago.
No question. And I think both from a market perspective, right, I think health tech is starting to, I think we talked about this, is starting to mature. We're not there yet, but there are certainly much better signs that systems are looking to adopt. And that's really come on in the last couple of years. But even, from a pure technology perspective, the level of our ability to dig into big data sets is improving rapidly, and that's really where we can start to bring very high science to a clinical environment and create actionable information. And I think those two things had to be true for us to be successful.
Right, and just think of all of the data that are being collected now and the amount of data that you're going to have, in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, it can only make your platform that much better, right?
Absolutely. And what's great about being in the feeding and the nutrition space is, apart from taking vital signs, it's the most frequent thing that happens during care. These kids are fed every 2, 3, or 4 hours, and you're looking at what is the content of the feed, what is the rate of the feed, where are we fortifying to get extra calories? And all of that data really does feed into what we're delivering, how we're delivering it, and then how that baby is responding. And so I think that level of sophistication will create some really powerful tools for personalized medicine in the future. And our vision is that by having this data and these very large real-world data sets, we'll be able to better personalize nutrition and feeding. And it's something that clinicians control, and as I said, are touching these kids repeatedly throughout the day and can make some very, very powerful decisions, which will help these kids then grow and reach their cognitive potential. And that's really where we hope the future of nutrition and health goes.
And what about the future of your company? What are you hoping to focus on next or extend your platform to reach?
So our current platform is the enteral feeding protocol work that I talked about, as well as the gut health score. But we see two avenues for growth. One is additional nutritional tools for the NICU. So it's a very, very complicated process from kids being fed through their veins, through IV, all the way through to oral feeding, right, transitioning so they can go home with their families. And so we're looking to develop a couple more modules in NICUtrition in those areas. But probably what we really get excited about is also the term infants, right? So the babies who go home and have that early exposure to diet, nutrition, and environment, and to help parents think about the early introduction of foods and looking at things like health outcomes, so allergy, asthma, and obesity, and how being better informed about the gut health of their children could help better, you know, make these introductions and make these choices versus a lot of the trial and error that goes on as you, you know, start to expose children to food and to other things early in life. And so we're looking to move beyond the NICU as a next part of our platform.
Now, would you say that parents should need to be more educated about those decisions?
I can speak as a parent. I think we're very interested, right? You are really reactive to symptoms early when you're introducing foods or changing diet, right? You're a working mom and you go back to work and now your kid's on part formula, part breast milk, or however you're managing that nutrition. It'd be great to know, you know, growth and how that's affecting their other intolerances to foods. And we need data to do that. And those data sets don't yet exist, but I think they'd be very powerful. And as a parent, I think you're hoping you're doing the best decision. But today, until you have an adverse reaction, you're not sure, right? Should you expose your child to X, Y, or Z? Is the right amount of food if they don't want to eat? All the things we deal with and colic and intolerances. You know, we're seeing a huge rise in GI conditions of kids, and part of that is just the changes that have happened in our gut. The other part of that that's quite topical is the use of antibiotics. We know that the antibiotics is rough on your GI system. Anybody who's taking it knows that. But how are we changing that community, and how might we restore it to a healthier condition after, say, a bout of antibiotics? So these data sets could be very, very powerful in that early development and acquisition of the microbiome, but we need to generate the data set and do really good science to help inform parents and, I would say, even, say, pediatricians.
And it sounds like you could almost have a digital health app on your phone as well that could kind of, you know, help parents make more informed decisions. You can also use it to monitor chronic conditions, asthma, allergies, stuff like that. Have you ever looked into, you know, expanding that way?
We certainly, as a small company, you have to focus, as you know. But certainly we've had conversations with groups that have more of a mom and baby focus, who do have an opportunity, I think, to provide that information to parents. The other interesting piece of that would be collecting samples or feedback data, right? So how do we know our decisions about the gut are correct is we would honestly need to collect some poopy diapers. So we would have to, you know, have some kind of program with parents and incentives to do that. But we certainly have that vision, and I think it's got some pretty great potential partnerships for us as a company. And I think there's unlimited potential of being able to help parents feel more proactive in health and in dealing with some of these you know, conditions that are starting to plague our kids and feel that they can play more of a role with good data. But as I said before, we have to generate those data sets as well as provide that information to parents and to families.
Patient Experience Symposium is a one-of-a-kind conference that brings together leading stakeholders from across healthcare to improve and enhance patient experience. The most influential thought leaders, healthcare executives, clinical trial operators, and clinicians will come together in Massachusetts from May 11th to 13th to exchange game-changing ideas and actionable strategies to enhance patient experience in their healthcare ecosystems. The symposium features a new track, The Role of New Technologies in Healthcare, which will include a session titled Telehealth, Improving the Patient Experience and Enhancing Care, featuring Dr. Joseph Kvader, and Digital Therapeutics, Combining Technology and Evidence-Based Medicine to Transform Personalized Patient Care, featuring Megan Coder. Attendees will learn best practices and find answers to difficult patient experience issues and leave with the power to develop an unforgettable patient experience. To register and learn more, go to patientsymposium.com. Together, we're changing the face of patient experience.
Now, continuing to look ahead, I know that you made some recent additions to your leadership team. Would you care to explain a little bit about that decision and who you brought on and how it'll help your company, you know, push forward?
Absolutely. And I feel very fortunate to be able to speak about these individuals and their potential contributions to our team. First and foremost, Dr. Bill Hay, who's a renowned neonatal nutrition expert, has joined us as chief medical officer. Bill spent the last 30 years in practice, has more than 200 publications and papers to his credit, and is really a thought leader and certainly a recruitment of our scientific advisory board. On the commercial side, we have Steve Shahada and MP Brock Zimmerman, who have long histories and careers in selling health tech to health systems. And it's a very unique skill. Selling to hospitals isn't trivial. And to have the two of them as part of our team gives us tremendous credibility as we scale our commercial infrastructure and plan for success in the future.
So you really have a nice marriage between, you know, an expert in the neonatal department and also these people who are able to kind of push that platform out to your target, you know, your target buyers.
Exactly right. And I think beneath them, we are expanding and almost doubling in the next quarter with key hires in DevOps, so to support some of these new products we've talked about, as well as in areas of operation and sales and marketing. So we're really excited about our growth and look forward to 2020 for sure.
Yeah. Did your funding round back in the beginning of the year kind of help you to expand your company?
Oh, absolutely. And we've got great investors. Our ability to sign our first contract, really start to build a pipeline, that enthusiasm from customers is what really stimulated that funding follow-on, which we did announce a couple weeks ago, and is what's helping scale our team now. But certainly our early funding was a huge catalyst in our success.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you coming on to Databook and telling us more about Astarte Medical. Obviously, this platform is extremely helpful and something that, you know, other tech companies might not be looking at, but it seems like it can really improve outcomes, and you're doing a really great thing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and appreciate your interest.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Databook. As always, I'm your host, Samara Rosenfeld. Make sure you like this podcast, subscribe, and follow Inside Digital Health on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook to stay up to date on the latest health tech news. Also, feel free to follow me on Twitter, at Rosenfeld Samara, and let me know what you want to hear on upcoming episodes of the show.
Hey, Hey folks, this is Tom Castles, former host of Databook. I just wanted to drop in for a second to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by InterSystems, the engine behind the world's most important healthcare applications. So here's the deal. InterSystems is all about helping you overcome the challenges of modern healthcare. Their advanced software solutions can help your health system transform care processes for moving to value-based care, managing population health, engaging patients, and so much more. It's all driven by a simple mission: to empower care providers and connect care communities around clearly presented, easy-to-use, and comprehensive health information. I think we can all agree that our industry needs innovation. So that's why I encourage you to take the next step today. Reach out to InterSystems on Twitter or LinkedIn, or visit them online at intersystems.com.